Just over 20 weeks ago, we began the journey through the essential 100 readings in the Bible from the beginning to the end. It has been our privilege as a church to read the Bible together and to listen to God's word. Today, we first look at the big picture and then the hope of a future perfect time in eternity, as revealed by Jesus Christ to John in the book of Revelation. When I was a child, my mother taught me this chorus about the Bible. Words of truth and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. She was very wise, and I honour her. As St. Paul tells young Timothy, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. For all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Word of God is like a seed, and just as we cannot explain how a seed becomes a fruitful plant, neither can we explain how reading in faith transforms us, but it does. In the foreword to the booklet we use, the author states the readings were chosen to help us meet the author. I like watching Meet the Author on the news channel. There the authors can answer questions with authority, because they wrote it. The author has authority. Likewise, it is true of our Bible. The Holy Spirit, the author, meets with us, guides our questioning, and changes us as we read, because he inspired the writing and can answer our humble questioning. And so we ask ourselves, have we learnt to meet the author? Now let's look at the big picture. It began with a garden with two special trees, as told in Genesis. We humans chose to go to the forbidden tree and taste the fruit, which enabled us to know good and evil and to decide for ourselves what is in our best interest. What a mess mankind has made with our selfish choices. To take of the other tree, the tree of life, is forbidden by God. And as a consequence, we all experience sin and death. However, the promise of the book of Revelation is that the tree of life stands by the river of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is only possible because of the third tree, a tree which grew and whose wood was made into a cross. Originally, this cross was made for Barabbas, a thief and a robber who represents us. But on that cross, in God's love and foreknowledge, hung Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offering his lifeblood. As a result, we may be forgiven, brought back to a living relationship with God, and have our spirits united with his Holy Spirit, which leads us gradually into perfect love and obedience. That is God's story of love, worked out through the people we read about in the Old Testament, whom he taught his will and his ways. His purpose was to clear up the mess and restore us, that we might in the future share in the tree of life. His people Israel were given the law and commands. They were taught the way to ask for forgiveness of a holy God by the shedding of the blood of animals who took the punishment of death in their place. This process, with the many ups and downs we read about, prepared the world for the coming of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Out of that offering and the resurrection came a new people, the church, grafted into Israel. The message of what Jesus has done to buy back the world is to be shared with all people. All should have the opportunity to believe and by grace alone be brought back into the loving fellowship with God. As we read Revelation, it is clear that though the victory was won by Jesus, there is still opposition and a battle to be fought. The book promises a final showdown when this evil opposition will be finally defeated and all things are renewed and brought back into harmony with a new heaven and a new earth. God's story is a story of his great love, which led him to come to earth, pay the price, and gain the victory. In the strength of that, we can be assured the eternal future will be perfect. I've noticed that our individual story runs parallel to this. Every babe born has the potential to live in love with God and with others. But we want to choose what we consider good or evil for ourselves. Soon we find ourselves surrounded with mess or causing a mess by disregarding God and others. The answer for each of us is the only answer, Jesus Christ, his cross, his forgiveness, his resurrection, ascension, and our new life. How happy we are to be brought back from the brink to union with God and to follow Jesus Christ, the victor, empowered by the Holy Spirit. There are struggles with sin and our fallen nature still to meet, but with Jesus, our victory is secure. So the next question our readings ask is, have you met with Jesus? Have you found new life in him? Has that life deepened? That is potentially the glorious story of every human being when we align our lives with God's story. The whole Bible, I've noticed, is our corporate story too. For what do we find in the revelation of Jesus Christ but the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and the church, a great company which no one can number, of every people and race and tribe and tongue? It is encouraging that the people of Israel are there, representatives of the offspring of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to whom the promises were given right at the beginning of Genesis. God keeps his promises to them, and we can trust he will keep his promises to us, his church. God's story, from the beginning to end, is Israel's story, the church's story, and our story. We have a future perfect hope. Can you see that plan for the perfect future? Our readings this week will strengthen our faith. The first words of the book of Revelation are the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must take place. This is the same Jesus who was present at creation, because through him all things were made. Of himself he says in chapter 1, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for ever and ever. In the vision of the worship of heaven, John is shown in chapter 5. The song is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. All history, from beginning to end, hinges on the person of Jesus Christ. We are brought back to God by what he has done. He is our friend, who comes alongside in love to lead us home. The Lord Jesus is close to the church too. Chapters 2 and 3 give insight as to how the church is seen by God. Each church is likened to a lamp on a lampstand, giving light. Of the seven churches spoken to, only two have lamps shining brightly with the light of Christ. In each of the others, the light is dim because of sin. Jesus lovingly calls them to change direction. He also understands that they face hostility and even persecution, and gives to them promises of encouragement, as he gives to us. Jesus cares for his church and sends angels to watch over us. How are our lamps shining in Dedham and Ardley? Revelation tells us that Jesus loves his church as a bridegroom loves his bride. Throughout the Bible, there is a promise that God will one day destroy evil and its perpetrators. And you will read about that in chapter 20. Right now, the world may look a mess, and it may appear the forces of evil are winning the battle, but that is not the way it will end. Our assurance is affirmed as we read the last two chapters of Revelation. I'm not going to tell you what heaven is like. As St. Paul tells the Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Instead, by the Holy Spirit, we can see clues as to the character of heaven in chapter 22, our reading tonight. It is a place of pure life, which flows from the river of life, whose waters are clear as crystal. It is a place where the tree of life is, and now it is freely available to all. In fact, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The curse, which was brought about by sin, was dealt by Jesus on the cross when he broke the curse. But now we know that the curse is no more, because God has dealt with all evil in the final showdown. At the centre of heavenly life is God himself and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We will look on his face and serve him. We will know him as he knows us. Our relationship with our Creator will be perfect. There will be no spiritual darkness to cloud our vision, but instead the full light of God. It is a timeless eternity, for we shall reign forever and ever. We are also assured that Jesus is coming soon, either at the completion of all things or when we pass from time into eternity. Then we are rewarded according to what we have done. And so we are invited to come. This invitation is the eternal longing of God since the time he walked in the Garden of Eden looking for Adam. He searches for each of us, and through Jesus calls, come, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and come, follow me. Here in Revelation it is, come to be cleansed by the saving power of the blood of Jesus, and come and drink of the free gift of the water of life. Let our response be, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. There's just one more thing. I noticed in the Message translation, the heading for the last section of Revelation beginning at verse 6 is, "Don't put this book back on the shelf." As we come to the end of our 100 readings, may God give us grace to obey that direction and continue to read the Word of Life. Amen.